Okay. Ready? Titus chapter 3. Put these in here. Titus chapter 3. We're going to start off with our the verse that we, our synopsis verse, which would be 1 and 5. The reason why Paul is writing to Titus, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." All right, let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for another day of your long suffering, your grace towards us. We thank you for the privilege we have again to meet and study your word. We pray for enlightenment and understanding as we go forward. We pray that the words might be lifted off the pages into our hearts and minds, that they might dwell in us richly. We thank you for each member of your body represented here and the families that we are a part of, to strengthen us according to our needs, Father, that we might walk worthy and well-pleasing, to do the things that you find pleasing as saints, as ambassadors in your stead. We pray for the country and those who have the rule over us, that they may continue to make decisions that will allow us to lead a quiet and peaceable life. We pray for the body of Christ, universal, Lord, that we might be enlightened and to know what is the hope of our calling. We just thank you again for recording these things and for the time that we have here. We thank you in advance for the information that we receive, the enlightenment that we receive, and the empowerment that we receive. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Titus. That's, you know, I just talked to the, who talked to the, Andre?
Me.
Okay. You know, he was, he always asks when we get out, "What you talk about?" And, of course, he's a religious man, I guess. But, if you talk to him long enough, you'll find that, It's kind of mixed up. The guy that works here. It's a little mixed up. A lot mixed up. Okay. But
Kenny Copeland's
his. I think the what it made me think of is what makes you so right and him not right.
Right.
Is so what I'm saying is when Paul writes to Titus and he sends him there, and when Titus gets to the, say you're in Crete, and Titus gets there and he says, "Mike, you're teaching the wrong doctrine." For the, I'll say like my English teacher used to say, "Who died and left you, boss?" That yours is right and mine is not. Who's the authority? Where does the final word come from? That's a question. And he's using scripture too. They're both using scripture. Who has the final word?
Paul.
Why?
The
latest is the greatest, right? Well, you say the last, your last. Your last will and testament.
1 Corinthians 15. Last of all,
he was seen of me. Where we, that's where you had to remember where you are in God's program, is the last person that the Lord spoke to was Paul. And he gave him instructions of how, in Timothy, he says, if I tarry long. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, but the Lord could say the same thing. If I tarry long, he's been tarrying a long time, hasn't he? Before the Lord returns. He says, if I tarry long, I'm giving you instructions through Paul how you ought to behave yourself in the church of God. Not just this geographical location. The church, the body of Christ. That is, the information doesn't change wherever you go. If it's Michigan or Tennessee or Texas, wherever you go, the information is still the same. That's what Paul says. He says, I'm giving you these things. That this is what I teach everywhere in every church. And these ways are in Christ. So when you go to different places and you hear different things, you know that those ways are what?
Out of order.
Out of order. It doesn't matter who's delivering it. If it's not Pauline, you remember a few weeks ago we were saying about right division, and what do you mean when you say right division? What do you mean when you say I'm a Pauline believer? It really, it just means that I'm listening to the man that God has appointed today. It's pretty much that simple. So when Paul writes to Titus and he tells him to set in order the things that are wanting, he's given him instructions that were given to him by God as the latest apostle. And when you get down to in 1 Timothy, he writes to Timothy and is dealing with the church as setting things in order also. Kind of laying the foundation. In 2 Timothy, it's now these things are being called in question. So he has to charge some in 2 Timothy that they teach no other doctrine. You see the church beginning to move away from the doctrine. In Titus, he's dealing more now with the individual. Where Titus, he said, Titus, now you work on the individual. When you go to this local assembly, we talked about that. What makes up a local assembly? It's people. See, what helps us is when we as individuals realize that this is instructions to me. You know, we say, well, when you read those things and you say, well, that's for Blake. Or that's for Jenny. When you can see where it applies to them, but not where it applies to us. So when he goes through, I'm thinking of last week, I'm just setting the stage where he says, speak to the aged men. Here's your responsibility. To the aged women, here's your responsibility. To the young women, to the young men. You can't look at that and look at other aged men or aged women or young men or young. You can't look at that and look at others. You have to take that what? For yourself. In other words, you can't shirk the responsibility. In verse 12 or 11, 2:11, he says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Before we get to three, you know, I was thinking these astronauts that were going on the trip. Oh, they were going into space. That's quite a trip, isn't it? They were going into space and it malfunctioned. So they had to come back. The only reason I thought about that is I said, why are they going out there? They were, and I know they think one day that we're actually going to have a complex up there, that we can live up there. So whoever has the most money then you'll be first in line for the new life. But that's what I'm thinking. They're trying to get to a place where that we're predestined to go. And I thought of, he says, looking for it. And I had to think, how many times do I catch myself looking or waiting or anticipating, hoping for that day? I got to be honest with you. I don't think about it a lot. So, but it does. It, you know what? It kind of shakes you up a little bit, and you get your attention that our affection should be on things above.
Put stuff in perspective.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Put stuff in perspective.
It puts things in perspective where I get so distracted with the daily things of this life where, you know, you forget that I am just passing through here.
Helps you cope with when you get, I mean, it's like every day you have to deal with the world and the worldly system and the sin and the cursed people and the cursed world. And you're just like, come on, let's go.
You know what?
It helps you cope knowing that you're going to be out of your sin. It's like, but, and then you start thinking, suffering with Christ. I'm like, does that mean because we're suffering just being down here, and he's probably suffering because we're not with him yet? I don't know.
Yeah. There's definitely the scripture says we are his inheritance, and we have an inheritance in him. But I don't think so much about. Paul says we are in it. This is an evil world. Yeah. I don't get that far, Johnny. You know, I can't get past me. Where, you know, that quote, like, we found the enemy, and it's me. Where I don't have to look around at a lot of things, even though it is wicked and it is evil. I expect that from them. My big problem is me, is changing my perspective, is putting my affection in on things above where it ought to be. See, if I went out in the world and saw people doing the opposite, I'd be shocked. That's why when Paul's, when he said, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Isn't Christ available for all? Teaching us, not teaching them. The scriptures are for believers. Teaching us. See that, Jordan? Lucas? They had to be taught as children, guided, instructed to do what's right. You don't have to teach them. You didn't have to teach them how to do wrong, did you? You sure? Nothing? He had it down. He had it down, right? And as they grow older, they get better and better at it.
So your DNA.
So by the time they get to our age, you don't have to teach them that. You have to teach them what?
Opposite.
You have to teach them the opposite. You don't have to teach them to be ungodly and worldly lust. You have to teach them to deny it, ungodliness and worldly lust. As believers, that we should, he said, we should better. You better.
Volition.
Which means what?
Free will.
It's optional. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. See, before you can get to the looking, you have to get to the denying. Right? You see, look at 12. The grace of God that appeared to all men. I'm saved. Yes, we got it. Teaching us that denying. What does denying mean? not going along with it. So here's the suggestion that comes to you by the old man, and he says, Karen, how would you like a plate of ungodliness? Just like we used to do.
Old times.
Or how'd you like a side dish of worldly lust? And you say, oh no. No, I've had enough. I've had enough.
Depends on who you feed. That's the question.
So that's great. Now, two verses. Romans 6 and Ephesians 4. Where we joke about it, but I humor sometimes. There's truth in it. Where Mike says, no, I've had enough. You know what the problem with the old man is?
Never has enough.
He never gets full. He never gets full. Romans 6.
And that's exactly the reason why Jenny and I both look every day for that blessed hope.
That's well, pray for us that we pray for me that I catch up to that. Romans 6. And then you got Ephesians 4, 5. Romans 6. Verse 15. We'll start at 15. He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Here's what I want. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But being made free from sin and become the servants, but now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the part I wanted was the fruit. Where there's nothing productive about it, even though it's appealing. It looks appealing, enticing. He said the end of it is what?
Death.
And the old man is so deceptive where the question is always the same, where the adversary would say, you won't die if you eat this fruit. You won't die. Where he says the wages of sin is death. Where there's different kinds of death, I should say this. In this case, it's functional. Where if you want to live a life that's fruitful, the Lord says you have to eat what's sound. The sound fruit, where we'll take this fruit, which is the ungodly fruit, which is just us yielding to the old man. And he says it's good. He says the fruit is good. There's nothing wrong with it. And the minute you partake, He says it brings forth what?
Yeah.
Practical. Your functional Christian life. You don't have that joy. You don't have that contentment. You don't have that peace. Because it only lasts for a while. It's like a drug. That's why you have to keep going back and back and back. Or replace it. Well, not y'all. I know y'all don't have that problem. Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians 4. Five. I keep saying four. Five. No, I'm right. Four. Ephesians 4, verse 17. We'll start there. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with. I've had enough. The old man, he says, I have had enough.
No.
He says, with what? With greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, the what? The former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to what? Deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He said, you know, the old man, he says he's deceitful. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me. I had to come down the aisle for this one. It's your old man, not somebody else's, yours. You know, the Mike that nobody knows but Mike. That old man, is he deceitful? Does he whisper to you? We got two Mikes. Your old Mike too. Mike.
And we just answer for
him. Yeah, yeah. But you know what, Mike? When you know one Mike,
you know
them all. That's the thing about it is, your old man is no more older than my old man. He's no more deceitful than my old man. You know how I know that?
You got one.
Because if, when you go back, you're going to end up with the old man, which is Adam, right? And we've all got that old man in us. So I don't have to, you don't have to tell me that you are not enticed by deceitful lust and ungodliness.
No.
Because I know.
We all bear the same.
Right. So, what, you know what takes care of the old man? Is the doctrine. He says, obeying from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered you. This is what makes it different, is this. Some people will say, this is how you take care of the old man. Well, when you got saved, he's automatically gone. So they walk around and pretense that
pretend
that I don't I don't feel that. I don't see that. Or I don't see him or her or it. But you know, we who know the doctrine, we know better, don't we? Yeah, I'm going to get back to Titus. So I think about this. Here's, we deal with the Catholic Church and the dilemma that's there with the lust. Where they say, well, we don't have that feeling. That's why we're in this position. I've given everything to the Lord. I don't have those kind of feelings.
It's not what we see on the news.
So it's the same way with I was reading.
In other words, they deny biological science.
They deny, you know what?
DNA. It's the way you're made.
I was reading something about the Dalai Lama the other day, and there was a man. He says. I went to see him once, and he said the energy from him, it just exuded all the way back to the aisle that I was on. And I said, wow.
Something exuded.
And maybe it did. But you know what I thought of? No, you don't. I'm going to tell you. He's just a man. He's just a man. Just like me. And we have, that's where when Paul says that you should think soberly, that you don't think of any man more highly than you ought to. He just won, a bucket of sin, just like me. He don't think that he doesn't have the same thoughts that we have. That's not sober thinking. Is think about this. How does he handle the enticement? How does he handle the deceitful lust of the old man? Colossians chapter 2. And then we're going to get to back to you know how they handle those things? Now she's joking around, but she said home like now this is something you don't meditate this away, Lisa. you can't hum the old man away.
Where did she say it goes
to? Colossians 2. Verse 20. He says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Now, this is when Paul's writing to the Colossians. They had put themselves on a performance, only on a higher level. See, they weren't saying so much like the Galatians were trying to keep the law. The Colossians had went to a different level where it was on a higher plane, a higher knowledge, where, like Jenny said, they were on the level.
Were they Gnostics?
That's so they were using a what is that?
Technique.
Oh.
Someone else is doing that.
They were. What'd you say? They were using
technique.
Well, you know what? It was like whatever meditation. Yes. Yes. They were. Okay. They were trying to satisfy the old man without the doctrine to accompany it. So He says this: why, as though subject in the world, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. The commandments and doctrines of men. Which things, the commandments and doctrines of men, indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body. You say, what? You know what? You go to different, you see different religions. They show you, like the Pope. You can see how smart they are, or how refined they are from the outside, mm-hmm. where he's holy. He walks slow. They toss the all right. They got the holy incense, right? They do all the signs. They do the chants. They even speak in Latin. He's got to be something said for that, right? And they talk, you know, bless you, Blake. Bless you, my son. Yeah. And sound familiar? But on the inside, he says, but not in any honor to the satisfying what? Of the flesh. See, the outward actions, it doesn't mean a thing. Because you can see that man, and there was a serial killer that was on TV. He said, from the outward appearance, he says, I was just the average guy. They all looked over me. He said, you know what? He said, I had a regular job, shirt and tie every day. They didn't think that it could be me. Because he showed a wisdom in will worship and humility. But he was killing people every day. So you see people, and they, you know, they have that holy look, and that holy talk, and the holy walk. But on the inside, the old man is raging. Because what satisfies the old man?
Sin.
What mortifies the old man? Colossians, we right there. Colossians 3. Just flip the page. 3 verse 1. This sounds nothing like Titus, but we're going to get back over there. He says, if ye then be, 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's looking, where Titus says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior. He says, this is part of looking. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, before we go back to Titus, how do you take care of the old man? Sound doctrine. What's that?
Feeding
on the right fruit, right? The sound doctrine. The doctrine is what you apply, and it mortifies the old man. It takes a life-giving influence out of him. And he says, put on the new man. I like what Jenny says. Don't feed him. Don't feed the old man. Feed the new man. Okay, Titus. Part of that food for the new man, Paul called it sound doctrine. The nourishing words. He says, now, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, put them in mind. This is for believers. Put them in mind to be obedient, to be subject, to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Do you remember those days? No? He says, when you look at others, you have to remember that he's not in the dark. He's not in the darkness. That's my uncle would say, he's not in the darkness. He makes it up. He is darkness. He's part of the darkness. He's not in it. He's part of it. He's what makes it up. And before you got saved, guess what you were? He said, you were the children of darkness, children of disobedience. He said, well, I wasn't that bad. Says you, right? But we were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Sometimes. You know what? I like Paul uses that like it doesn't happen anymore. Like you're never foolish. You never do foolish things now? Okay. You never disobedient now?
He was too.
Never?
Oh, wretched man that I am.
He said, you never serve divers lust now? Mm-hmm. You never serve pleasures now? You never live in malice now? Never envious now? Never hateful? You say, well, nah, that's strong. That's strong, Brother Frank. I don't hate anybody. You forgot all about those other ones, though, right? But you see where I'm...
That all starts tomorrow. No.
The Monday, right? See, this is part of the mirror. Where you look in that mirror and you see, if it weren't for the grace of God, I can still do what that... I can still be dominated by that old man. If it weren't for that doctrine coming to you saying, this is what you should do. This is who you are as a saint. This is what you should do. You would do what the old man you would still continue in the old man. Okay. He says, for we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He says, this is where you were. He says, but after the kindness, after the love and kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Do you know that's how we got saved, right? By grace, through faith, plus nothing. It's a gift to God. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Yeah, and we kind of talked about that last week, is he says he shed the Holy Ghost, he shed on us abundantly. I like that. You know, when Paul uses those adjectives like exceeding abundantly, more abundantly, is in Romans says this: if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Do you know how you get the Spirit?
Believe,
receive. Okay. Anybody got a verse?
Ephesians 1:12-13.
There you go. Ephesians 1:12-13. It says, after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's in there. Now, how much of the Holy Spirit did you get? All you're going to get. I remember visiting when I was visiting my grandmother. We go down there. We were kids, and there was a plaque on the back wall. And it said, have you received since you believed? And I always receive what? I didn't know. You know, I was just a kid. I'm like, receive what? Receive what? And finally, I got enough nerve, and I said, what? Receive what? And my grandmother said, yeah, the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when you get saved, you have to wait for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That was years ago. Now you read this, and you say, the moment I believe, he says, I was sealed abundantly. That means, you know what, in excess.
Get it all up front.
He's in there. And guess where he's going?
Nowhere.
it's
the washing of regeneration and the renewing, the same thing.
He says, not by works of righteousness which you've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, right? He says it's a washing and a what? And a renewing. Both of them are done by what?
The Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Ghost.
Wasn't one the quickening and the other made a new creation?
You know, you have to. We know that washing is the same as a what?
Baptism.
Baptism, right. So knowing what you know, knowing what we know, what the scripture says about baptism.
Identification.
We know that it is. We know it's spiritual, right? Because the Holy Ghost did it. He did it. It's identity. He said it's a cleansing.
Now,
Colossians.
It took us out of Adam and placed us into Christ.
All right, Colossians. Somebody get Colossians 2.
Into the body of Christ.
Huh?
Into the body of Christ.
He put you, that's your identification. Right, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's your identity, your separation. Got start at verse 9. He says, tell you what, verse 7. He says, rooted and grounded, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How'd you receive Christ?
By faith.
By faith. In what?
In Christ's finished work.
Right. Huh?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Hearing and believing.
Hearing and believing, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Believing God.
Okay. The doctrine, right? The gospel. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, he says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom, how do you get in Christ?
By the Holy Spirit.
Okay, by the Holy Spirit. In whom, now you, when I read these things, you have to think about if the Holy Spirit did not identify you with him, none of these things would happen. Okay? He says, in him or in whom you are what?
Circumcised.
Right? Circumcised with the circumcision made what?
Without hands.
Without hands. Who does it then?
Holy Spirit.
Okay. He circumcised you. He says, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Guess where your sins went?
Christ.
When he died for what?
Our sins.
Say
my sins.
Yes, you. He died for your old man. When you talk about the old man, he says, I got rid of him. When I died, I got rid of him. That's what the circumcision is. He cut you off from being dominated by the old man. You know what you do? You go pick him up. He don't live with you now. You go pick him up. What you doing tonight? What you want to do? See, you have to, when Titus said deny ungodliness world, you have to invite him. Where he comes and he says, what about tonight? Sure, come on in. I mean, I'm speaking as a man, but that's how it is. He says, buried, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. What? Buried with him in baptism. What? Buried with 12. Buried with him in baptism. Wherein? In what?
In the
baptism. You are also risen with him through faith of, not in, faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Circumcised, he said what? Baptized, baptism? Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, there you got a resurrection too, right? So, you see, you got there, you got a death, burial, and resurrection right there. And it's done, he said, this is done by what? The Holy Ghost. And he said, the moment you believe what Christ did, his death, burial, and resurrection, he says, what he did physically accomplished something spiritually for you. Johnny said, is that the same thing? Yeah, that's some of the things that he does in us. Where the washing of and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost is he takes your old man and he said he quickens him. That's your renewing. He said, now you got the old man's gone. He said, now you got, now this is the new man.
So it's like the parable that the Lord talked about cleaning and garnishing a house. And if so, it's like you cut off one, but you can't leave a vacuum. It has to be filled.
That's where when he talks about the vanity of your mind, like the in Ephesians where he says, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Like the other Gentiles, their understanding darkened through ignorance. These are educational words. Like he said, you got to know something about what you have to know something about what I'm doing. You can't just walk around and you get saved. Why do you think the problem today is when people get saved, they don't go on in education? They just do what they think is right.
And that's why the will of the Lord is that all men might be saved and
come to
the truth. And most churches, whatever, make salvation the final destination rather than the starting point.
Right. And you said that several times where when you go to them, you say, well, what is the washing and renewing of the Holy Ghost? And they say, oh, that's water. That's all day, Mike. Water baptism all day. And he tells you in the same passage that is done by who?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Look, if the part of that cleansing is bottled up in him taking care of your sins at the cross, him burying those sins, him resurrecting you to walk in newness of life, that's the renew, right? If you go in and renovate something, make it new again.
And regeneration, regene, new DNA away from Adam.
Now, think about this. Where when he says the new man is renewed in knowledge after
the image of him
that created him. So who is that?
Christ.
So you going, he takes you all the way back to the image that was when it was lost. To get that. And you get it by what? Well, faith, right?
Belief.
It's ongoing. It's knowledge. He said he's renewed in
knowledge.
After the image of him. The only way you get back to the true worship and service of God, you have to learn how to do that.
It's an ongoing.
You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn what that is in order to do it. That's why he says he's renewed in knowledge.
I was being a little facetious. I just want to tell you.
Oh, okay.
No, I want to know how to explain that to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I've tried once, and the dude made a big deal about that comma.
About the comma?
Yeah. Washing of regeneration.
Comma. And renewing. Okay. He did both of them. He does both of them. It's in Colossians where he says you have faith. Faith. He says through faith of the operation of God. Not faith in the operation of God. How many believers have the same circumcision, burial, and resurrection? The same spiritual, what we read in Colossians. How many believers are complete in him?
All
of them. How many know it?
30.
Does that make the faith of God of none effect? Just because they don't know about it?
No, it's still true.
It's still true. What
so
what gets
just don't walk in the vanity of your mind. You've got it. You've got to.
You have to know what he.
Well, just like when we Ephesians says that when we believe, we're sealed. We don't feel it. How do we know? We know it because what the word says, not because we. There's any, you know. It's knowledge based.
Faith, not feeling.
Faith, not feelings.
Faith cometh by hearing,
now,
and hearing by the word.
So if I'm tarrying, look, I go there and I see the sign on the back wall and it says, have you received since you believed? And I say, well, you know what? I don't think I have. How do I know? And he says, well, this is how you know. First thing, Louise, you got to speak in tongues. And you say, well, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Because I had never done that. And they said, well, come on down here. We're going to show you how to do that. Listen. Do you see the gap in there? You walking around with the Holy Spirit, looking for the Holy Spirit. If he can talk to you, he would be like, what are you doing? That's why he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. We do a lot of things as believers in ignorance where you're taking him to a tarrying meeting and why are we going there? And he said, we're going to look for you.
Put their gloves on.
Is this coming through to what I'm saying? It's in jest, but you are riding, you are taking the Holy Spirit with you to a place and you're telling him that I'm looking for you.
Or you want more of it.
I want more of you, and he's right there. All the time, every day, all day.
Well, I mean, just you think about preachers that say, you know, Lord, you know, send your Holy Spirit down and fill this place. And they're like,
so,
lock the door before he gets out.
And you know what? And I hope that, and I hope every time I'm hoping that I say it in a way that it's understood, but where he says the faith of the operation of God is whether you understand those things or not, whether you believe them or not, those things happen. There are spiritual processes that happen in us. And now all God is saying is this. He says, that's the reason I wrote them down.
So
it's for you to know.
Catch up to the reality.
how can you explain to somebody that it isn't experiential?
Because he said this. He says by Philippians 3. Now Colossians 2, he says, we it's by faith of the operation of God. Is you have to, when you read those things, you have to believe that he did those things even though you don't. In Colossians, he said this, you were circumcised with the circumcision made. That's experiential. With hands is experiential. I felt that. Without hands, I really felt that. Without hands, it's non-experiential. Yes.
Sorry.
No.
Circumcision. It's to us, or to man, I guess, with the old man, it's just like you say, it's with hands and it's...
Right.
How do you explain to someone what the circumcision is that we believe in? Circumcision is a removal of the dead, basically.
Circumcision of the heart.
You know what? That's a good question. Where?
Because if I say you have to be circumcised, I want to be circumcised. You know what I mean?
Right, so, right.
So it's kind of a difficult.
And this goes back to the actual doctrine of circumcision, which I'm going to say this real quick. Is it goes back to Genesis. When God promised Abraham something, and he promised him a son, and he told him, just wait. I'm paraphrasing this. Just wait for me. And Abraham did it on his own. Guess what he did it with?
Hagar.
I said, guess what he did it with?
Okay,
right. So, when he finally is dead, you know what I mean? He's dead. Abraham said, now, he's dead. God says, now I'm going to do it. And they have a son. And he knew that it was God. You know how he knew it was God?
Because his flesh was dead.
Because his flesh was dead. His flesh was dead. He couldn't do it. So when God tells Abraham, now, to make sure that this don't happen again, everybody that's coming after you that believes me, he going to have to cut it. It's a symbol. He said, you're going to have to cut the very thing that you use to defy me, to go against me, to do it on your own. He said, you got to cut that. That's a sign to me that you don't trust in your flesh, that you don't trust in your ability to do it. That was an experiential kind of thing, fleshly. So they go on, every man that came to God that said, I'm a believer, God would say, well, guess what? You have to be what? Circumcised. That's physical. Now, over here, Paul says, we're the circumcision. We're complete in him. We're the circumcision now that worship God. Philippians, who got Philippians 3? He said, this circumcision came without what? He says, but it still put off the body of the sins of the flesh. You know what your sin? You know what sin? Sin is. Sin is just you not doing what God said do. And your old man, that's all he was. He was a walking contradiction. God says, Mike, be kind and tenderhearted. And you said, well, not today.
Not today.
So he says, I have to get rid of him. If you want to walk with me, I have to get rid of that. And he said, and I did. When Christ died, he says, I died for the old man. That the body of sin, that the old man, the life source for your disobedience, he says, I had to get rid of him. I had to disconnect you from that. So you can have a choice now to do what I want. So he said, now, Philippians, we got that? Philippians?
So when we talk about those under the law or the Jews were physically circumcised?
Yes, okay. But they weren't. Even though they had the external experiential circumcision, they still didn't have what God said, a heart circumcision. Okay. They never wanted to do what he wanted, even though the outward experience says, well, look, they have all been circumcised. They all believe God. Yeah. And they're the very ones that killed them. How is that believing God?
That's why Romans 2, I think it is, says that he is a Jew that is born inwardly, and that circumcision is of the heart.
Right. Now, Philippians. Philippians 3. He says, finally, brethren, 3:1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. You know what that means, right? Those who cut. He says, for we, Paul's talking to believers, for the Philippian believers, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the experience.
Flesh.
So you see people that say, you know, whatever they think gets them closer to the Lord. I'm a great usher. I give.
Filthy rags.
I do whatever their experience is. I do this. Or I don't do this. Or that. Whatever their list is, Paul says, that really doesn't tell me what's going on in your heart, though. The very fact that you are stacking up a list of things tells me that your heart's not right. Mm-hmm. Because what you can get to is say, you know what, the only reason I'm in this thing, the only reason that I'm secure is because he did it. When I say, that because the Lord has taken care of everything that's wrong with me up front. Yes.
Okay. Doesn't it also depend on what that person believes worshiping God in the Spirit is? To some people, that's experiential.
That's why. Yeah. That's why Paul, you know what? That's, man, a little knowledge goes a long way. That's why when he writes about it, he tells you. He goes on, he gives you some examples of his experience. I was circumcised the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew to Hebrews. I kept the law. He said, but the things that I counted gain to me, the experiences, all the pluses that I saw in my character and behavior, he says, I had to count it, what? A head start for Christ. He said I had to count it as a loss. You know, why am I here, go to verse right here. Why am I quoting it? He says, but what, 7. He says, but what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss. You know what? All things. All my spiritual things that I think, I count loss. Because all your spiritual things are against his. Put it this way. You've been saved by grace through faith plus what?
Nothing.
Oh, no. Something you did. Uh-uh. You gotta add that on. That's what you're saying. When you say we the circumcision that worship God in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh, that's exactly what you're saying is, look, he says his death, his burial, his resurrection, his righteousness. Plus what? Plus what? What do you have to add to this?
Belief.
Plus faith. What else? What else? Zero. Because whatever you add is taken away from that. Paul said it's the work of faith, the work of faith with power. You have to depend, you know, if God didn't do it, it didn't get done. And the circumcision of the heart says that. Say, look, whatever you want to put on my list, take it off. You don't come there where, well, what about this? What about my giving? What about I love everybody? Whatever you bring to the table, leave it. What you come to the table to take away, not bringing something to the dinner. You get it? The minute you bring something to the dinner, guess where it's going? In the trash.
Doesn't matter what you bring in, it's
he doesn't need your input. Okay, we got to stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Help us as we read and believe these things, or help our understanding to close the gaps of our misunderstanding and our what's foggy to us. We just pray that week after week, these things may become more and more clear as you would have them. And we just thank you for recording these things, that we are able to go back and meditate on them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
So the answer is, dang, I'll never believe what I say.